The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. And welcome back, a brand new episode for a brand new year, the first episode of Wrestling with Jonas for 2023. And like I say, we did a whole ton of interviews last year, and what a way to kick off a new year, what a way to kick off 2023. So this is episode 276, motoring along towards that magical 300 figure. And today, I've got one of the most established performers on the UK scene, one of the best female talents in the UK, Europe and further afield, dare I say, the Princess Diana of Brit Wrest, the English Rose and the current Wrestle Carnival Queen of the Carnival, Jetta. Long intro there for you, Jetta, but you're definitely worth it. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. That was a very nice intro. Thank you.
There we go, I do my best. But for anybody watching at home and want to get in touch with the show, you can do. Reach out to us, reach out to Jetta, ask any fan questions. We encourage you. We really want you to. So please send us through your question using your chosen device. They'll ping through to us and we do our very best during the course of this interview to bring them all up live on air. But Jetta, first of all, I have to ask you about the last 12 months or so, certainly coming out of lockdown through 2021 into 2022. In a nutshell, it's been a pretty incredible year for you. And I'd probably go out on a limb and say probably one of your most memorable 12 to 15 months in terms of your successes and some of your memorable moments.
Yeah, definitely. It's sort of feels like a long time ago now that we were, you know, in lockdown for so long and not wrestling. So, yeah, came back, I think it was probably the end of August 2021. So, like, sort of missed most of 2021, I suppose. Yeah, and then hit the ground running last year. So yeah, win the EVE title at the end of 2021, lost it, won it back at the start of 2022. Wrestle Carnival Championship as well. Yeah, and lots of fun matches and first time opponents and wrestling people again since lockdown. So yeah, I've had some really really fun matches.
Yeah, and one or two debuts as well, which we'll get to. But I'm just going to flash up some pictures here. And there you are with the EVE Championship, yourself there, having just won. You became the undisputed Wrestle Carnival Queen of the Carnival, and of course, with both championships there. But like I say, I think it was around October time you won this championship, the Rumble, the EVE's first show back.
Yeah, you might be right. It might have been October.
Yeah, I think it was October or thereabouts, a 30 women rumble. You came out on top. And that was EVE's first show back from lockdown. And you won the championship that's eluded you for the previous 10 years or so, maybe longer than that, 10 or 11 years. How did that feel to win a championship? I mean, you've been part of the foundations of EVE from the very beginning, and we'll talk about that in a bit, but a very special title to you that had eluded you for so many years. First show back out of lockdown, and you won the Rumble and you became the EVE champion. A very memorable match. You must have been thrilled with that.
Yeah, it was a great way of coming back. And you're always a little bit nervous with something like that. Like Rhea was the champion. She was, you know, a big heel in the company at the time. But there's always that, I feel like when you're a baby face as well, there's always that kind of nervousness of like, when you win it, are they going to be happy? Because I guess if like they're not happy and you're a heel, it's kind of, it's like you've done your job, haven't you? But if they cheer you when you're a heel, then it's almost not as bad. But if you're kind of met with indifference or boos when you're supposed to be a big baby face, it's a bit awkward. So and I know that before the pandemic, I was popular with the EVE audience, but again, it's like, well, I mean, I think the last show before was probably like March 2020. So if you think, yeah, like coming back in like towards the back end of 2021, you know, that's a long time to not be in front of that audience. So there's always that nervousness of like, do they still feel the same way that they did back then? And the great thing about EVAs is that they run quite regularly, so you've always got that kind of like measuring stick, I suppose, on what the fans' thoughts are on you, if they're behind you or not behind you or whatever, because you're there every month. Yeah. But yeah, so being away for that long and then coming back, I was a bit nervous about that, but thankfully it got the reaction that it needed. And also having just being back with all the girls was really nice. I think, the thing about Eve that I really love is the locker room, and a lot of us have been around and been, doing shows together for such a long period of time. So it was nice to just be back in that environment and just back, around everybody. And also having Erin there as well, who helped me win, was really special. So yeah, and a lot of things obviously happened on that return show. So Charlie coming back from injury, Alex Windsor coming back from injury. We all kind of trained together before getting ready to return, so it was special that we all kind of got to do that on the same show. So it was really good. It was really nice. It's really special. Yeah,
absolutely. And there we go. I believe that was the same show, getting hoisted up onto Charlie's shoulders to celebrate. You got the pyro as well. And like I say, winning the championship that had eluded you for all that time. But I mean, being as we're talking about it, Eve, and the awesome kind of women's roster on the UK scene. And I've seen it firsthand, and I've been to dozens of indie shows up and down the country over the last, certainly since August of 2021. So a year and a quarter now. And I mean, I don't know if you feel the same, but the women's division and women's matches up and down the country, and certain promotions in particular, really do seem to be featured very heavily. Main event matches, main event storylines and programs. And I think the women's roster up and down the country is as stacked and as exciting as it's ever been before.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, it's like anything really. I mean, I think, again, if you're looking at 2018, 2019, we lost a lot of what were the top girls in the country. So, the likes of Kaylee, Viper, Dewdrop, Tony, we lost the girls that were the top girls. But I think, with everything, and especially, I think this year has been a testament of it, is there's always girls waiting to kind of move up and take those places, or maybe they're at this level now, but then when those other girls move on, they then step up into that upper level. So you've got girls like Lizzie, Sky, Alexis, you've Rio, you've got girls like that that have obviously been around for a few years, but they haven't kind of been on those sort of bigger stages, and they've obviously stepped up to the plate over the last couple of years. So yeah, I think, and again, the thing is with it is although, I think those three girls that I just mentioned, Kaylee, Viper, Tony, they're just phenomenal, and they're phenomenal to wrestle. But again, from a fan's perspective, how many times can you see the same combinations of matches?
Yeah.
So it's almost good sometimes when people do move on to go do different things. It's when girls go over and do the few months tours in Japan or whatever, it's almost a good thing, because they go away long enough to be missed, and then when they come back, they're kind of like a new person. But then there's girls that then come up that then create different matchups, so that's been a good thing as well, because a lot of those girls, those three girls that I've mentioned there, so Lizzie, I've never wrestled Lizzie before. I'd never wrestled Alexis before. I still haven't wrestled Rio, although we were meant to wrestle at some point, I think, last year. So, there's a lot of first-time matchups that have come up over those girls then growing into those spots that were freed up. So, yeah, it's looking really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing that happened coming out of lockdown, obviously you mentioned Charlie's return from her retirement of 2 years after that devastating injury. And of course, the Royal Aces was formed as well. You have performed quite a lot for Progress as the Royal Aces, and for various other promotions, including Eve. I'm guessing that this was something that you'd spoken about quite a bit before, but the formation of the Royal Aces and kind of establishing the two of you as a tag team on the UK scene, another kind of memorable moment of coming out of lockdown.
Yeah, and I think that's it as well. I think sometimes, you know, it's nice. I suppose the thing with me and Charlie that's good is that there's that kind of like representation, and being able to do that and just kind of be ourselves has been really good. And yeah, getting to do that with Eve and Progress and TNT as well has been great. So yeah, we hope that, you know, going into this year, I want to say next year, but it is next year now, isn't it?
Already?
Yeah. continuing into this year, yeah, we definitely want to continue to be wrestling as a team. It's just nice as well to be able to have those experiences with your partner. Yeah, it's fun to be able to be a tag team.
Absolutely. And another highlight, sticking with Eve just for the meantime, was this here: God Save the Wrestle Queen from the Electric Ballroom.
Now,
I believe it's a fantastic picture. I believe that would have been your debut in the Electric Ballroom, which is obviously a famed venue for Progress Wrestling, but not necessarily a famed venue for Eve, but obviously they were there after Night One of Super Strong Style last June, I think it was. But a phenomenal show from yourself and from the Eve roster, but did it mean anything to you in particular to be debuting in the Electric Ballroom for Pro Wrestling Eve on that night? It was against Nita Samuels as well, wasn't it? So was that a memorable occasion for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun to wrestle there, and as I remember correctly, I think at the time, speaking to Dan about who I was going to wrestle, I asked if I could wrestle Nina, actually. I love wrestling Nina. I knew that meant that it wouldn't be on the live stream, because at the time she was signed and they obviously had rules around like what they could and couldn't do, but I wanted to wrestle Nina there, to be honest. She's another person that I think has massively like come into her own over the last couple of years. And obviously, like, people have their opinions on the whole NXT UK thing and, you know, whether it was a good or a bad thing. And, you know, that's down to personal interpretation. But what I will say for somebody like Nina Samuels is that it's great to see that people are able to see how good she really is now. I think, you know, one of the issues, I suppose, with NXT UK at the time was that it was quite a short program. So there wasn't, you know, you couldn't feature everybody as much as you would probably want to, and then obviously the matches couldn't be as long because it was only an hour show. So it's definitely nice to see her, rightfully so, she's everywhere at the moment. She's a phenomenal talent, and she's so much fun to wrestle as well.
Absolutely. And she was so good before she got signed, and now she's definitely even better with her character, you know, behind a microphone and inside the ring. But let's talk about this. Obviously, we alluded to it earlier. This coming Saturday, Eve 100, the 100th show of Pro Wrestling Eve, Saturday the 7th of January, of course. You're going to be there. Now, to the best of my understanding, I think you're going to be part of a Rumble match, but it's no ordinary Rumble match, is it? So please explain as best you can, and to the best of your knowledge, your participation or what this Rumble match is going to look like on Saturday.
So I don't think I can probably reveal what it is that I'm doing or what it is that any of the other girls are doing, but what I can say is there's a lot of laughter going on in a lot of group chats at the moment about what we're planning to do. There's a lot of random requests for wigs. I'm not going to say any more, actually, because I might give away some of the characters. But there will be people taking on characters from Eve's past, Eve's present, and some other completely non-related, even wrestling characters or just random wrestling characters that you wouldn't expect somebody to be, what should I say, cosplaying, I suppose.
Yes.
Basically, the main thing I can say is it won't make any sense, but it will be in a good way.
And you have to be there to witness it, or at least, I'm going to flash up the poster again, at least watch it on YouTube and sign up to, I think, one of their tiers, one of their fan tiers, to be able to watch the entire show.
I believe the Rumble will only be available for people on the top tier. I think the way it works with Eve is that you have the live stream on YouTube. I think the first half of the show is streamed for free. And then the second half of the show, you have to be on the fan tier. I'm not exactly sure what the fan tier is, but the Rumble will be in on the fan tier. There will be other matches as well. I do know that I will be wrestling on the show in some other capacities. It won't just be on the Rumble. And also, yeah, a lot of the other girls will have other matches as well, but we'll all kind of then join together in true independent wrestling style to do the Rumble at the end of the show.
Absolutely. Now, I was going to bring up a picture. I'm not going to anymore because in case I get myself into any trouble. it is a multiverse Rumble. Yeah. So
It could mean anything.
Could mean anything. And you could get any form of Jetta that you may or may not have seen over the years. But one thing I do want to bring up onto the screen is this here, your Progress Wrestling debut. And what a show to debut at, Jetta. An all-female show, March the 22nd last year. So I think it was during their 10th anniversary week, and it was their Who Run the World show from the Dome. And you were there. I'm going to flash up the picture once more. Teaming with Charlie, of course, the Royal Aces against Mercedes Blaze and Tonga. I mentioned at the top of the show that there might be kind of, you know, one or two debuts that we talk about from over the last 12 to 15 months. And that was one of them. And unless I'm very much mistaken, wrestling inside a Progress ring on a Progress show and an all-female show as well. That must have been a pretty cool moment for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really nice as well, obviously, to tag with Charlie and again to kind of establish us as a tag team as well.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. That was a great show, some fantastic matches on that show and some great talent. And that's something that I think in the past Progress have sort of been have not been great at, and they've sort of been called out on that, their lack of pushing the women or using the women or kind of having sort of like storylines with women. So obviously they had the women's title, but I think they didn't sort of have a lot of different storylines going on with the girls. It was just either related to the title or not, basically. And I think that's something that they've really done a good job of this year, last year, which is they've obviously still got the women's title, but they've had other stories ongoing in Progress involving the women rather than just somebody chasing for the title, which has meant that they've been able to introduce a lot of new characters. As much as I hate having to say it, but the Lana Austin experience has been I hate to give her any kind of credit, really.
Bit of a thorn in your side as far as Progress is concerned in 2022. So I flashed up an image of yourself and Rio there from the Cardiff show, the Tram Shed, back in October. And I know that yourself and Charlie also had a bit of a tangle with the Lana Austin experience a couple of shows earlier. So and we're going to talk a bit about Lana. But the Lana Austin experience, like I say, they're certainly making waves in Progress one way or another. And you've had your encounters, haven't you?
Yeah, but I think something a little bit different. It's something that, you know, obviously in Eve, you know, you are going to see factions, you are going to see, you know, you've got the tag team titles, you've got the main championship, you've got the international title, so you're always going to see versatility on those shows. Something that I think Progress have done really well this year is they've put some versatility into their women's division as well, and it's not always just been who's got the title and who's the contender this month. And the Lana Austin experience has been a big part of that. I just think it works. It's just a really good like take on sort of having a female faction as well. You know, it's been I can't think of any other kind of women's faction in any type of company where you've got, you know, you've got your big hench bodyguard, you've got your sort of silent assassin in Sky, your brawler, and then you've just got your mouthpiece Lana.
Yeah, it works.
You get that a lot with men. You get that a lot in the men's wrestling, but you don't really see that on the independent scene with the female. So it's different, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and I definitely saw.
That's nice thing I'll say about Lana. I won't say anything else.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I was at the last ballroom show this past Sunday, the unboxing show, and a great show it was too. A fantastic match for the women's championship, but you did see a lot of different dynamics there with Sky and LA, and of course Lana, superstar Lana, of course, if you're watching. Yeah. But our first question, I'm gonna pop up onto the screen here for you, Jetta, friend of the show. You probably know him. Ashley Clements goes to all the shows. Hello, Jetta. Hope you're well. want to know what the inspiration of your current theme music from The Spy Who Loves Me, James Bond's film, as Nobody Does It Jetta. So we obviously know it as a James Bond film, Nobody Does It Better, but you've kind of changed it a little bit to suit your character, Nobody Does It Jetta. It's very catchy. You do have the whole audience singing along to it when you make your entrance. What was the inspiration behind it?
So when I was trying to think of entrance music, I was sort of trying to think of like, what do people not really usually have, like what type of music, because so people tend to have, like, you know, there was kind of like a phase where everyone had like grungy new metal, like badass, like just everyone had it, and then, you know, people would tend to pick songs more that they like or that are cool, rather than maybe, sorry, my cat keeps trying to come in and out, rather than what kind of like suits the gimmick. And years ago, I can't remember who said this to me, but they said that my character was kind of like Alan Partridge, which I think is a great compliment when I'm a heel, because I love Alan Partridge.
And I would never have made that connection personally.
But the Jetta character is not cool. Like, I am not cool. I'm not a badass and I'm not cool. So I wouldn't have cool current badass music. So in my head, I had two choices in my head. I don't know how Nobody Does It Better came into my head. I don't know how that, it just did. It just popped into my head. But it was either that, or it was Simply the Best by Tina Turner. But Simply the Best stuff out takes too long to kick in. And also, I thought it's too catchy, because at the time, yeah, I was in New York, I thought it's too catchy. I actually chose the James Bond one because I thought everyone would just be like, what the hell is this? And those who do know it are going to be like, what the fuck? But then also, because I was heel at the time, I thought that people would start singing Nobody Likes You, Jetta, or something like that.
Right.
But it kind of turned to Nobody Does It, Jetta, which, you know, it works. It works. But yeah, now I love it. But originally what I liked about it as well is, like, you know how, like, usually when people come out, it's like it builds and it's like doom, 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 and then they come out and it's like the bit. Whereas, like, this doesn't have that. It has no drop. But that's what I liked about it, because it doesn't have a drop. It's almost like a bit awkward, yeah, a bit cringy, which suited the heel character. Now, as a babyface, when people sing along to it, you don't have that awkwardness that it doesn't have a drop. But yeah, that was kind of my thought process behind it. I wanted it to sound different to what anybody else had, but I also liked that it didn't have that drop and it was just a bit like soft rock, like random smooth radio that you'd hear. And do you know what's really funny about it? I get people messaging me all the time that they hear it on the radio, and I just can't believe that it's on the radio as much as it is, with the amount of people that like tweet me and say, oh, I've just heard this on Magic FM. Well, I can't believe it's on as much as it is, but yeah, that was the thought process behind it.
And I bet any wrestling fan that hears it on the radio is adding the Jetta lyric instead of the Better lyric. And absolutely. But it works, doesn't it? As a babyface theme, certainly as a heel theme, because, like you say, you've got that certain arrogance about it, haven't you? With Nobody Does It Jetta, Nobody Does It Better. But as a heel character, like I say, absolutely fantastic. I love singing along to it anyway. let me bring up this picture here. And there you are. The current Wrestle Carnival Queen of the Carnival. And I think we can go one better, can't we? We can go one better because I'm sure you've got the belt somewhere.
I've got it, yeah.
There we go. I was hinting. Look at that. So the Wrestle Carnival Queen of the Carnival Championship there. And you are the current Queen of the Carnival champion, of course. You've been with Wrestle Carnival. I think it was Wrestle Carnival Pure back in about October of last year. So about a fortnight after you became the Pro Wrestling Eve champion, I then met you in Nottingham at the Portland Centre. And you had the Eve Championship belt there. I awkwardly interviewed you before your match, I think it was. And like I say, you've had a proper journey with Wrestle Carnival. A lot of it has involved Charlie Morgan, of course, in singles matches or tag matches or Rumble Gauntlet matches. But give us a bit of a flavour as far as your Wrestle Carnival journey so far and your journey towards the championship.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling Charlie on that first show was really nice. Again, like I say, because we'd been training together, we were both sort of a little bit nervous about coming back. Charlie probably more so because she was coming back from an injury and have obviously not been wrestling for a lot longer than I had. But I still hadn't wrestled because of the pandemic. So, and even, you know, coming back on that foot, we both decided that whatever we got asked to do, we were always going to come back at Eve. We were always going to wait till Eve. We were both going to get new gear. Obviously, Charlie wanted to return at Eve from injury. But for me as well, I knew that there was only one place that I would have my first appearance back, and that would be for Eve. Just because of how much the company means to me and how much, like you say, I've kind of been there from the start, really. And yes, I would consider it to be my home promotion. So it was always going to be, Eve was always going to be the place that I came back. So Wrestle Carnival was then, I think, the next show that we both were doing. But I hadn't actually had a proper match. I'd done the Rumble. So it wasn't, I mean, it's not a proper match, is it? So yeah. And the same for Charlie. And I don't know if she's told this story, but when she came back for Eve, she asked to wrestle Sky. She basically said to Dan, you know, I want to choose who my return opponent is because I want to feel comfortable wrestling that person. So she chose to wrestle Sky. And then when we were speaking to Gary, we just basically said, you know, can we wrestle each other? Because again, we know each other really well. We've been training together to get ready to come back, and we trust each other. So it'd just be a nice way of us to both kind of like break the ice and, you know, feel comfortable. Like, okay, right, we've done that. We've got it under our belt. And obviously, Charlie had already had a match, but I hadn't. So yeah, that was a lot of fun to do that. And I think for me as well, like wrestling Charlie over the past and like being involved in tag matches and wrestling her in singles matches and gauntlets and whatever else, I've really enjoyed it because she pushes me to kind of like do things that maybe I normally would be like, oh, I can't do that, I'm no good at that or whatever. She pushes me to try things and to be a bit more confident, which is good because it sort of pushes me outside of my comfort zone and gets me to do things a little bit different. And yeah, I mean, working for Wrestle Carnival has been a lot of fun. I love working with Gary. He's always happy to listen to ideas. We talk about things, you know, it's quite collaborative, which I think is really nice. And I think he does have a good balance of like bringing in established people, but also giving up and comers a chance to kind of showcase themselves. Like, there's been quite a few shows where I've seen people that maybe I've never heard of before, and then I've watched them wrestle. I'm like, wow, like they've really got something. They're really good. They just need the opportunity to show it and to be on shows. And yeah, I mean, again, you know, the new venue that he's got in Coventry, the HMV Empire is a great venue. Yeah, the shows are a lot of fun. Obviously, it's my hometown, which is it's always nice to wrestle in your hometown. But yeah, there's a really nice atmosphere in that venue. You've been there. It just feels really nice. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And I've got to echo your sentiments there. The HMV Empire in Coventry is probably the perfect wrestling venue. It's kind of like a bit of a bowl shape. So you're kind of coming in from all angles. It's dark, great for the lighting, fantastic atmosphere. And one show in particular, I think it was Wrestle Carnival's debut at the HMV Empire in Coventry, was in July, Ringmasters. And it featured a certain Scotty Too Hottie, who featured in the opening match against Crowley. And he took part, or he was kind of there after the main event as well, did the worm. But not only that, yourself and Charlie and Darice, and you got the chance to do the cool dance, didn't you? So obviously there was Scotty Too Hottie and Grandmaster Sexay and Rikishi back in the day doing the Too Cool dance. And you got a chance to do it as well with the man himself. How was that in front of your home crowd in Coventry? That must have been a pretty fun moment for you.
Yeah, that was great. And I must admit, we did ask if we could do it.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
We did ask Gary a few weeks before. We were like, is anybody doing the dance of Scotty Too Hottie at the end? Because we'd seen that he'd like done other shows like obviously in the UK and he did quite a lot with OTT, and we'd seen other workers doing the dance with him. So we're like, oh, I wonder if Gary's having him do it at Wrestle Carnival. So yeah, we shamelessly asked, is anybody else doing it? And he was like, oh, Dries, yeah, probably Dries. And we were like, well, can we do it as well? I was like, yeah. Because I just think, like, you know, and some wrestlers are quite, I mean, or, you know, it's, you know, you shouldn't take photos with like wrestlers, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't be a mark, and blah blah blah. And it's just like so stupid. Like, if I remember watching Scotty Too Hotty when I first got into wrestling, and I loved it. Like, why would I not? Like, if I've got the chance to do something like that, and it's funny because wrestling is the only industry where people are like that. Like, you know, like sometimes you'll see like bands or like singers will post like photos with like other artists, and they'll be like, oh, this person's my inspiration, I loved this person growing up, I can't believe I got to do a duet with this person. And nobody's like, Mark. But in wrestling we are, for some reason, which doesn't make sense. So I just think if you get the opportunity to do stuff like that, you can only be told no, can't you? So it's always worth asking the question. And I got to tell a load of my friends that used to watch wrestling in the Attitude Era that I did the Scotty Too Hotty dance, and that they were probably more excited that I did that than anything else that I've ever done, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was thanks to that show also I got to interview Scotty Too Hotty after the show, and then he came on the podcast, did a full interview with me a couple of months ago. But a similar story to yours, and I was at the Progress show on Sunday, up in the balcony, up in the VIP area, and I looked across to my left, and there was Nikki Cross, and I know that you've got a history with Nikki Cross, and we'll probably talk about her, but I was thinking, oh, she's obviously here to support Damo, and kind of tried to get her attention. And I didn't really want to kind of, anyway, coming back from the interval, she walked past me, and I put my hand out, and she kind of walked past it, so I thought, okay. So I waved, and she waved back, and I was a proper mark there. She looked fantastic.
And I don't understand this. Like, I don't know where this kind of etiquette came from. Like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're backstage and somebody's on a show with you, and they're, like, going through their match and whatever, then, yeah, okay, fair enough. But, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it. Like I say, there's no other industry that's like it. Like, you'll see footballers do it, you'll see musicians do it, you'll see other athletes do it, but for some reason we don't. It's markish. Well, then I'm sorry, but every single person that gets into wrestling has been a mark at some point. Like, we're fans at the end of the day. So yeah, I always just think, like, you'll regret it. Like, there's so many times I've done shows with people that were massive inspiration to me when I was younger. I mean, I got to wrestle Jazz, and she was like one of my favorite wrestlers. And yeah, too right, I told her. Of course, I said to her, because, you know, she was lovely. She was so lovely. And yeah, you might get the odd person that you say, oh, you know, you really inspired me as a kid, and blah, blah, and they might just be like, oh. But I doubt, not many wrestlers are like that. We obviously do it because we want to entertain. So to be told by anybody, you know, 10 years later, oh, you really inspired me, like, you'd have to have a bit of a heart of stone to not be like, oh, that's a really cool thing to hear. So I always just think, take the picture with them.
Absolutely. And like I say, even when I am backstage and I do kind of mark out a little bit, it's like at a previous Wrestle Carnival show, there was Jordan Grace and Jonathan Gresham there, and they were as nice as you could imagine photos and things like that. So, you know, we've had a few people get in touch. Now, before we talk about your championship match at the next Wrestle Carnival show, let's read out some questions. So we've also got Millie C saying, hi, y'all. So thank you for watching, Millie. And Millie has actually been sending us some useful information about the show on Saturday.
Sign up
to the championships tier of Pro Wrestling Eve on YouTube. That's it, to see the entirety of Eve 100 and get everything on their entire channel. There we go. So Millie says, what sort of mod would she be if she didn't plug the channel? Of course. And Jazzy, so lovely. So we do have another quick question. Going back to, we talked about Pro Wrestling Eve earlier, and Vauxhall X watching us via YouTube. I enjoyed your matches against Eden Black back in the day. Did you have any favourite match from that feud? So you mentioned Eden just a moment ago, but any favourite matches from your series of matches with Eden?
I mean we both started training at, I think she started training maybe a year before me, but she trained at Hammerlock in Kent, which is where she was from, and I trained in Coventry, which was like an affiliate of Hammerlock. So we would sometimes kind of see each other at shows, and we'd be in like rumbles together, and we'd get like the girl spot in the rumble, so we would do a bit, but we never really properly wrestled for a few years. I would, and yeah, like then over that sort of period of time, like we wrestled everywhere. And yeah, I loved wrestling her. I always loved wrestling her. It was always a lot of fun. I would say probably two matches stick. Not actually, I don't know. It's quite difficult to say. So one of the first proper singles matches we had was for the Wrestling Channel. And it was the first time that we'd been a part of a TV taping for the Wrestling Channel. I'm guessing that you might know what that is, given that you remember those matches. But I mean, yeah, the Wrestling Channel at the time was a really big deal. So to know that we were wrestling and we were going to be on the Wrestling Channel was like really cool. So that match, I think. Then we wrestled in a tag match where we were actually a team at Ring of Honor against Alison Danger and Sarah Del Rey at the Liverpool Olympia. That was just amazing to do. And that was really nice that we got to do that together as well. And then I would say her retirement match, which was, I think, like, I can't remember the stipulation, but it was something like if she lost, then she had to retire, but she actually did retire and I lost, which is fine. I don't mind. I was the heel, so it was the right thing to do. But that match was a lot of fun because it was just emotional knowing that was, you know, going to be one of her last matches. And that was on Eve as well. So, yeah, I'd say those three matches stick out for me. I couldn't pick one out of those. If I had to pick one, I'd maybe pick her last match. But, yeah, those three matches do stick out for me.
Brilliant. Thank you, Voxel X and Millie C, for watching and for reaching out. And a few others have been sending questions in. We will get to them, I promise. But first of all, I've got to bring up this picture here. At the end of the month, 29th of January, from the HMV Empire in Coventry, your hometown, as we've established, you'll be defending your championship, the Queen of the Carnival Championship, against Superstar Lana Austin. Now, Lana's performed in a Wrestle Carnival ring many times before. She's the current Progress Women's World Champion, doing some great things on the circuit, fantastic character work, and even better in ring work. But you'll be defending your title against, another established UK. Yeah, that's it, Lana Austin. And looks like I know that you've had your battles with Lana over recent months in tag matches, but this is going to be a fun one, isn't it?
Yeah, and this will actually be the first time we've ever had a singles match together as well.
No way. So get out of town. Match,
which is crazy because you kind of think at some point we may have done. We've done multi-person matches, we've done tag matches, but yeah, we've never wrestled each other one-on-one. So yeah, I am excited to wrestle her one-on-one. Yeah, that's somebody who I've wanted to wrestle. I don't want to say properly because a tag match is a proper match and a scramble kind of is a proper match. But you know what I mean? Like a one-on-one sort of singles match. I've been somebody that I've wanted to wrestle for a while. So, yeah, I'm really excited to have that at Wrestle Carnival as well. Yeah, I love wrestling for Wrestle Carnival, especially at the HMV Empire. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
100%. And somebody else that reached out before we went live from Grapple Theory. Grapple Theory, an excellent podcast. Go follow them on Twitter. But Grapple Theory are asking, this is going to be great. Ask Jetta if she's concerned about Alex Windsor, Hale Windsor, coming for revenge when she's back. Now, obviously, you became the interim Wrestle Carnival Queen of the Carnival Champion while Alex was otherwise occupied. Possibly there might have been an injury there. But and then you became the official champion soon after. But no doubt Alex will be kind of back and be wanting a shot at a title she might say she never lost. But any thoughts on that from Grapple Theory and Alex Windsor, of course?
No, I'm not really that concerned about Alex coming back. I mean, she may have beat me for the Eve Championship, but she didn't even hold on to it for a day. So not really that worried. And if she wants to, I mean, obviously I'm going to quite easily beat Lana Austin. So, yeah, if she wants to challenge for the Wrestle Carnival title that I've been defending, because I don't think she ever actually defended it, then she's more than welcome. But she's probably going to have to get in line, because there's a few other people that are vying for title shots as well. But no, not worried at all.
There we go. Well said, well said. Take us back to your wrestling fandom, because I know that you spoke earlier about some of the wrestlers you watched growing up. But when did you first come across pro wrestling, and what sort of impacts did it have on you back in the day?
I think like everybody really, of my kind of era, I was aware of the Attitude Era and Stone Cold and The Rock, and I kind of used to sort of watch that when I was a lot younger. I don't remember any of the matches. I don't think I ever had the attention span to watch the matches, but I remember like the skits and the promos, you know, the throwing the title off the bridge and the, you know, the beer truck and all that sort of stuff. I remember like the Undertaker kidnapping Stephanie and all of the like cheesy storylines. I remember all of that. But then I think as I grew up, I didn't really carry on sort of watching it. It wasn't until like the early like 2001 maybe that a friend of mine who really liked wrestling sort of was trying to get me to watch it, and I was like, oh no, it's stupid, I don't like it. And she was like, no, honestly, you should watch it. And I think she showed me a couple of like the Royal Rumble 2000, the one with the tables match with the Hardy Boys, and I thought that was really cool.
Great show, yeah.
That's one of my favourite pay-per-views. The Cactus Jack Triple H match was a great match. And I think that kind of, then I was like, oh, okay, actually, yeah, it's all right. And then I slowly started, like, would watch the pay-per-views, and then I'd, like, start watching Raw, start watching SmackDown, and then before I knew it, I was just watching it every week, and I loved it. And then yeah, we were both kind of like, oh, well, we want to train to be wrestlers, but we didn't really know how to go about it, because back then you couldn't just Google something. You had dial-up, like, so.
Yeah.
And most things were in, like, wrestling magazines. So we saw, like, in a wrestling magazine that there was a training centre, the Hammerlock summer camp. So we were like, oh, okay. So we went on the Hammerlock website, and then when we went on the, like, training thing, we saw that there was a training school in Coventry, and we were like, what, like, how is there a training school in Coventry? And it was literally like 20 minutes from where we lived. So like that Sunday we went to that training center, and that was that. I didn't stop, but that was like 2002. So
that's crazy. And am I right in thinking that NWA Hammerlock legend Magic had a bit of a hand in your training back
then? He was my main trainer.
Ah,
yeah, so he ran that school, and yeah, he was my main trainer.
That's cool. But before we take a deep dive into your kind of early career, we had Richie reach out to us via Facebook, and he's asked, which wrestlers, male or female, did you look up to, maybe as a fan, and maybe inspired you in your future, certainly as you were preparing to be a wrestler or thinking about starting your training? Any wrestlers that really kind of that you'd love to watch or maybe inspired you as a fan or as a trainee?
As a fan, like before I started wrestling, my favourites were the Hardy Boys and Lita. Like I thought they were just the coolest. I wanted to be Lita. I thought she was so cool. And then as I sort of started training more, I started to really like I said, Jazz, because she was just tough and she just like beat people up.
Yeah.
I really like Chris Jericho. He was one of my favourites. And I think he's like one of the best even today, because I mean every era of wrestling he's adapted to it and he's changed what he does. He's always current. And then when I started training, I was introduced to like the Japanese wrestling, and through that I discovered Manami Toyota, who still is like that. She is
legend
to me, the best wrestler of all time. Like I don't think, to me there are two people that you can't argue are like the best of all time, and they should be on every best of all time list, and that's Manami Toyota and Shawn Michaels. I think everybody else is debatable, but those two, and it's crazy because I think like at the time I remember like again like you didn't go on YouTube or anything like that, you'd tape trade. So I think at training, like one of the trainees was like, oh, you should watch this, and they gave me like, is it Dream Slam, like the really famous like women's event.
That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember watching that and just being like, because at that point I'd only watched WWE. I watched ECW a little bit too, because you could get like ECW DVDs and like HMV or whatever. So Jerry Lynn was another one of my favorites, and RVD, I loved them. But other than that, really, I only watched WWE. So I didn't really, I wasn't used to seeing women wrestle for like more than 10 minutes. And obviously a lot of that as well was kind of like bra and panties and whatever. So being able to watch like a whole pay-per-view and like the matches are like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, some of them even longer, I was just like blown away. But I guess with Manami Toyota, the thing for me was that you don't understand what the commentary team is saying. You don't understand the stuff that they're saying in the ring, but you feel it. Like you just, you feel that connection. And I don't think anybody does that the way Manami Toyota does. Just connects with people. And yeah, what the greatest of all time, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I completely echo your sentiments. I think I first come across Manami Toyota in about 1993, so a few years after my fandom started. And tape trading, once again, getting tapes in from all over the world. And AJW, I think, was the big Japanese women's promotion there. And they did a big egg universe dome show, which was, a 10-hour show with Bull Nakano and Aja Kong and Manami Toyota and all the best. Just absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. And I don't know, there's just something that's like, it's great now that you can go on YouTube and you can just Google stuff and get whatever. But there's just something that's like, people from this era, I'm going to sound really old now, but people from this era don't understand that kind of like when you had to go out and find something and you had to like order a tape and it would take like 2 weeks to get there, and then all of a sudden you'd come home and there's a tape there and you're like, oh,
made it more special.
Yeah, it really, really did. And like, yeah, so that to me was, and it kind of opened my eyes to like there's other wrestling as well. But yeah, I'd say Manami Toyota and Shawn Michaels, as I kind of like became more educated to wrestling, they were my favorites. And then also as I kind of broadened my horizons on wrestling, Jerry Lynn was one of my favorites, and RVD as well. And I love how I'm naming all of these people like I don't wrestle like any of them, but they were my favorites.
Yeah, totally agree. And they'd be on my list as well. I might be skipping ahead a little bit here, but I want to look at 2007, because you'd already been in the business a few years by this point. But there seemed to be a bit of a breakout period for you, certainly heading into 2008, 2009. But 2007 seemed to be the period where you started to branch out a bit more. You did matches over in France and Germany and across the UK. So you're really kind of branching out a little bit more across the UK and a little bit into Europe. Now, we're obviously going to talk about America in a moment, but how did it feel around that period of time when you must have felt like you were starting to, you know, hit your stride, find your feet, have a lot more confidence, and you were kind of reaching out to a lot more promotions and working further afield as well?
Yeah, I think, just a lot of things just started clicking into place really around that time. Again, like the wrestling channel, like people always used to ask me, oh, what's it like wrestling on the wrestling channel? Do you get like recognized more? And like, to me, it's like, no, like you don't, because realistically, the people watching the wrestling channel are people that you know. Like there obviously are going to be like other just general wrestling fans that are watching it. But what it did help you to do was, like, because a lot of people in the business within the UK watched it, then your name would come into their head when they were thinking, oh, we need girls. Oh, Eden Black and Jet, because they've seen us on the wrestling channel, so they knew us. So because of that, you probably got more bookings out of it from that perspective. And it's just like anything, you know, it's word of mouth, you know, like you start working for a few people and then they know this person and they know that person. But I think the big thing that kind of helped me to break out was Dan started running the female tournament shows, which were not called Eve at the time. They were called Chick Fight, which I know he's going to cringe that I've mentioned that, but that's what they were called, which is an American company that did like female wrestling tournaments like a couple of times a year. And he basically just took that brand name and did it in the UK. So it would just be several women from like different parts of the country or different parts of the world would come together and do a one night tournament. So with that, some of the girls from America came over. So Lacey, Daisy Hayes, Cheerleader Melissa, Mischief. And then because I was then wrestling those girls, they would then go back and say, oh, I wrestled this person, I wrestled that person. And that obviously then put you up for like potentially going over there. But originally Eden Black went to Shimmer first, and I was talking about going there, but I hadn't actually, like, I think I'd wrestled Daisy and she'd recommended me, and I'd been around Lacey and Daisy. And again, it's sort of similar to what it's like at Eve. Like, you can be like a good wrestler and people can sort of want you to wrestle there, but if you don't have a good attitude, you've got, well, basically you've got to pass the attitude test. Yeah. So because they'd hung out with me, they've said, oh yeah, we've hung out with her. She's, you know, she's all right. Like, you know, she's not an arsehole. So that's another tick in the box. But when Ring of Honor came over, Alison Danger and Sarah Del Rey were already coming over, and they were going to wrestle them, wrestle each other on night two, because it was like a 2-day show. On the first night, they just wanted to give them like an enhancement tag match, basically just to kind of put them over. Eden Black was already one of those girls, and they basically just needed another girl to go and just take the pin, basically. And because I was associated so much with wrestling, Eden Black, they were like, oh, Jetta's fine. Yeah, just get Jetta in. So I did that match. It was like a 6-minute match, just took all their stuff, like obviously did what I was told, and, you know, it was fine. And that was kind of them, my ticket into Shimmer. So yeah, it was, I passed that test. And I think like the day before as well, the day of, like, the ring was up, like, quite early, and we were all like in the venue quite early. So I just kind of like rolled around and with Sarah before the show, and we were just kind of like doing holds and like ins and outs and stuff like that. So I think because I was doing that as well, and like it obviously showed that, you know, at the time, because this, I wanted to learn, I wanted to get better, and so they're all good things really, aren't they? So yeah, that was kind of like my ticket into Shimmer. And then yeah, with, again, wrestling in Germany at the time, like, quite a lot of companies were doing all women shows. So there wasn't like loads of us around. So yeah, I managed to, once you do one, you then kind of then end up doing others within that kind of like little circle of promotions. Yeah. So yeah. And I think having rest on the wrestling channel, like next to your name or anything, like, just helps boost you a little bit as well. So.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about Shimmer in a second, but I'm curious about the name, Jetta. It's quite a, I'd say, you don't often find many wrestlers with just one word names. You do, you know, occasionally, but...
It's an early 2000s thing.
Yeah, exactly. what was the inspiration behind the name? And I'm sure it's probably just something that came to you in the middle of the night. I don't know. Give us your take on where the name Jetta came from.
So I couldn't think of a name for a debut show, like a friends and family show or something that we were doing, and it's a car in the Fast and Furious, which was like popular at the time. And one of the other trainees was like, why don't one of you call yourselves Jetta? And there was two of us, and we tossed the coin, and I either won it or lost it, because it's one of them, like, I have over the years thought about, should I change it, because it's a bit random, and it's not like, and I think nowadays, like back then, a lot of people had like one word names, but now a lot of people have two names, like, yeah. I know Dan was at one point saying add something on the end, and I was like, well, that's weird, because like Jetta doesn't set like that, doesn't sound like something that should have a second bit. Like, and then I was like, should I just change it, because a lot of people like completely change their names. But then I couldn't really think of anything else, so I was just like, wow, I'll just leave it as it is. And I've just always left it as it is.
There you go. Works perfectly. Thank you. Thank you for explaining. I do appreciate it. Now I'm going to bring up some pictures. I did promise before we went live that I wasn't going to embarrass you. Look at these fantastic pictures. Now, these are obviously yourself and, is it Rain, your tag partner?
That's Rain. Yeah.
This was obviously when you were over in Illinois, over in the States, 2007, 2008, 2009. You had a variety of tag matches and singles matches. I think you even won a number one contenders Royal Rumble or Battle Royal. And then you had a championship match for the Shimmer Championship that same night. Uh-huh. So over then, well, you had a number of tours. I think you had a few in 2007, 2008 and 2009. A great opportunity, a great experience. I mean, you spoke about how you got noticed from some of the American talent when they were over here for the Ring of Honor shows and one or two other things. Did you ever think that you'd get a chance to wrestle over in the States for an established company such as Shimmer and really make your name while you're out there?
No, I mean, I think when I first started wrestling, like, I sort of thought maybe at some point I'd wrestle on a show, but I didn't think that I would ever do the things I did and travel to all the places that I traveled, especially America. I mean, I was like, I think 20 the first time I went there. So I wasn't even old enough to drink over there when I first went there. And yeah, like, I guess what was, it wasn't like massively daunting, I suppose, because I'd already met quite a lot of the girls from them coming over here. So it was nice that I'd already knew people over there. So it wasn't like I was just kind of going to this country and like I didn't know anybody, I hadn't wrestled any of them before. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of thrown in the deep end a little bit because my first match was against Serena. And then my second match, so Eden Black was already over there. So my second match, I was put with Lacey and Rain just because we were like similar kind of like cocky chicken shit heels. So it was just kind of a way of like establishing me, I guess, as a heel, like affiliating me with them. But it just, I don't know, like when we were teaming together and like doing stuff together, it just really clicked. So we stayed as a team. Lacey stopped wrestling, I think, in like 2008 or something. So me and Rain, they were a tag team. So then me and Rain just then became a tag team. But yeah, we're still like the best of friends. Like,
that's really cool.
Rain is actually going to be one of my bridesmaids at my wedding. I should say our wedding, in August. Yeah, we speak to each other all the time. Like, we're still really, really close. It's mad because like sometimes you just meet people through wrestling and you just click with people. And yeah, we've always kept in touch over the years and visited each other over the years. So yeah, I think that's the main thing for me that was really special about going over there. Like, not just the experience and getting to wrestle some of the people that I did, but as cheesy as it sounds, I made friends that like lifelong friends. So yeah, really special.
Absolutely. And we had somebody reach out that's watching this live, obviously Voxel X, who sent us a question earlier, still watching. Any desire to return to Shimmer and start a new international home wrecking cruise? So would you like to obviously go back over to the States, maybe wrestle for Shimmer again, but any desires or thoughts to kind of do it all again?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to go back over to America, of course. I don't think he's run any shows in a few years, and I don't know if he's got any plans to do so. But yeah, of course, I'd love to go back to America. Who would be in a new international home wrecking crew? I don't know. I don't know.
If you're watching Voxel X, and send us some suggestions, maybe. But
because she's just wrestled again, so we'd have to be in it. Who else? I don't know.
There we go. Send us your suggestions. And obviously, Pro Wrestling Eve started in 2010. You wrestled for them and other promotions through 2010 and 2011. But then you had a bit of an absence, didn't you? And I don't think we saw you again for a 4 year plus period. You came back in 2016. I suppose my question is kind of what led to you kind of leaving the scene at the end of 2011?
I just had like a lot of sort of nagging injuries, and I just sort of, to be honest, I just sort of fell out of love with wrestling. And I think a lot of the time as well, I would do like some of the all women shows where there'd be like a lot of us together and it would be a lot of fun. But a lot of the time back then, you know, most shows would have one women's match on it. So I would be traveling on my own quite a lot and going and doing shows on my own. And then, yeah, obviously, like when I was, and you know, this is the thing, I didn't ever want to feel ungrateful, because sometimes I'd be backstage at shows and I'd see wrestlers that had been wrestling a long time and they'd be so miserable and they'd just be like, oh, can't wait to get this over and just go home. And it's just like, really? Well, then why are you doing it then? Like, why are you like wasting your weekend battering your body when you don't even want to be here? Like, and I'd never wanted to turn into one of those people backstage that just suck the joy out of the place. And I could just solely see myself turning into that person. Like, I didn't want to travel to these places. I couldn't, like, sometimes I'd have to get up really early. Like, a lot of the time I do like a similar loop. I'd get up, I'd wrestle on a Friday night. On the Friday night, I'd travel to an airport, I'd fly to maybe Germany or France or wherever, wrestle on the Saturday night, and then I'd fly back to the UK and do like a Sunday afternoon show, and then I'd get home really late. I still had like a normal job, so I'd go do that, and then I'd sometimes wrestle in the week as well. So it was full on, and when I enjoyed it, I didn't mind it. It didn't bother me, or the traveling didn't bother me. I actually, in some respects, I actually quite liked it. Like, I didn't hate it, but I think as I started to fall out of love with wrestling, it became a chore. And I just sort of thought, I think I was like 23 at the time, I was in a lot of pain, and I just sort of thought, if you don't love it, why are you doing it? So I just stepped away from it.
And a curious question for me, over them 4 years, did you keep an eye on the scene? Did you watch much wrestling, or did you have a complete separation?
I didn't watch anything, to be honest. No, I just had a complete separation. Obviously, I had my friends that I met through wrestling, and I still kept in touch with them. Some of them were still wrestling, so I sort of knew like some of the stuff that people were doing, but not massively. Wasn't really on, like, I don't think there was Instagram around. I think Twitter was, but I think it wasn't as like what it is now. But you had like your social media that was just like personal, so I didn't see like loads of stuff on Twitter or loads of stuff on Instagram going on. Like, I just didn't see any of that. If you know, some of my friends used to run shows in Coventry, so I would sometimes go down to them and watch them. And I'd watch the odd WrestleMania, I'd go to the odd WrestleMania party, but other than that, like, I didn't really watch, because I think the thing is with wrestling is it becomes such a big part of your personality. It's sort of like, you know, even when you've got like a normal job, or you know, you're out with your friends who are not in wrestling, they introduce you to someone, it's probably one of the first things they'll say about you. So your whole life just becomes wrestling, and it's all people want to speak to you about, it's all people want to ask you about. So I think I just needed to like not talk about it, not like just have a complete clean break from it.
What prompted the return then, Jetta? I mean, what was it that prompted, you know, you coming back?
I think because a lot of like people, like a lot of my friends, hadn't actually seen me wrestle, and I think I went on like a couple of nights out with people, and they were like, "Oh, why don't you just come back and like do a few?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, all right then." So I did a few, and then obviously you never do a few, do you? If you come back and you do a few, you end up doing it like again, like, but this time I think I'm a little bit more selective about what I do. I try and keep like a normal life balance with stuff. Like,
your schedule was not as mad as it was back in the day.
No, and like, you know, there's lots of things that like I didn't do before, or I didn't, you know, like I didn't go on girls' holidays because I'd be like, well, don't really want to block out like this time in July because I might get bookings that are really like important for me to do. So I wouldn't do a lot of things, and I missed out on doing a lot of things. So a lot of that I just sort of did as well. So I was like 23 at the time when I stopped. So I just sort of did normal 23-year-old things and went on holiday with my friends and what have you. But yeah, this time around, I don't prioritize wrestling over personal stuff. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of things in wrestling that I want to do, and I want to wrestle at certain people, and I want to wrestle at certain places. But I won't let myself get burnt out like I was before, because you've got to have, that's the one thing that I'll always say to anybody like in wrestling. Yes, if it's what you want to do and you want to make it, then yeah, you do need to put your all into it. But don't forget your family, your friends. Like, don't just make everything you do be about wrestling, because if something happens, or, you know, even something not serious, even if it's not like an injury or something, if you suddenly start to fall out of love with it a little bit, you don't have anything else as an outlet. That's the big thing for me now. And it has to be fun. If it's not fun, then I'm just not going to do it.
Very well said. And 2017, I was kind of doing my research and noticed that the very first Pro Wrestling Eve, she won. I'm going to bring up some pictures, because these were some of the talents that you wrestled that year. Mayuko Satomura.
Yeah.
Emi Sakura. And Viper. All over a two-day period, all in the same tournament. I know that you've been established for many, many years, but when you've got those three talents in the ring with you, that must make it feel pretty special.
Yeah, and I love She Won. It's one of my favourite things to do every year, especially because it's kind of like an ongoing thing. So that first She Won that you've just shown, I finished on 0 points. I think I lost to like Miko in like 30 seconds, and Emmy in probably less time, and then Viper probably 10 minutes or something. But again, it's one of those things where like I like stuff like that, because when Dan first told me that was happening, I was a bit like, oh, really? Like, so I'm in a block with like these three and I don't even get to wrestle them. And obviously, like, I'm a big fan of like that type, like the Japanese women's wrestling. Like, so to be able to wrestle Miko, I was like, oh my god, that's so cool. And then he was like, oh, but you're gonna lose in 30 seconds. I was like, really? Like, I was a bit disappointed and I was a bit gutted. But then I was like, I can use this, I can make this a thing, like I can use this to my advantage.
Yeah.
So when Miko beat me, I made sure that Emmy beat me in less time, because I knew that the fans would be like, oh, you lost in 30 seconds, because the timer is up on the screen behind the ring. So I knew that they would make a big deal out of the fact that I lost like in 30 seconds, and that like Emmy then beat me in like 17 seconds. And then when I went to wrestle Viper, I just did like loads of moves. We just had fun. But then that became a thing then. So I took that kind of like what could have been a bit of a shit thing, really, of like jobbing out like that.
Yeah.
But now every year it's like a big thing on how many points I'm going to finish on. So like the next year I had 1 point, the year after that I had 2 points. So it's like every year it's like, well, how, like, what's going to happen? So yeah, that was, and to be honest, like, I can say that I stepped in the ring with Miko without the pressure of having to wrestle a really long match with Miko. But again, they were lovely as well. Like, I kept saying to them, like, no, I'm not, I can't get anything in. Like, you just need to do it. And like, are you sure you don't want to just kick me once? I'm like, no, I can't. I'm not allowed. Like, you just have to beat me. And even then, like, Emmy, I was like, it needs to be quicker. And she was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, it's fine. Honestly, it's fine. So yeah, they both wanted me to do a lot more, but I knew that if we were going to do it that way, it would get over. It would get over as a story.
Yeah.
So that was actually, I think, probably a bit of the catalyst that started to turn me babyface in Eve as well, because it wasn't a natural babyface turn. It just sort of over time, people started cheering for me. So
yeah, absolutely. And I know before lockdown, certainly 2018, 2019, 2020, and you mentioned it earlier that Eve has been kind of your home promotion, certainly over the last few years, and certainly over them couple of years, you was almost exclusive to Eve before lockdown. And I mean, just in a nutshell, what does Pro Wrestling Eve mean to you, and how important is it as a promotion, not just to British wrestling, but to worldwide wrestling? Because in my opinion, it's probably the most important wrestling group in all of the UK.
I would say that Pro Wrestling Eve is the most important women's promotion in the Western world. There is no competition. If you look at like anybody who's anybody, they've wrestled in Eve. I mean, you know, Nikki, you've just mentioned, yeah. Miko, Emmy, who is extremely underrated and a phenomenal wrestler, but also a phenomenal teacher. Viper, Kaylee Ray, Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter, Charlie Morgan. I mean, anyone who's an, like Britt Baker, like anyone who has done anything in female wrestling at some point has been in Eve. So, you know, I think that on itself speaks to Dan's eye for talent and his eye for like who's going to be the next big thing. It's incredibly versatile. Yes, it is an all women's promotion, but more so it's a night out. It's an entertainment show. Like a lot of the people that come to the shows, you know, it's a great mix of like really clued up wrestling fans and just people that don't even watch wrestling. They just enjoy the shows. And the fact that the way Dan books it hits both of those demographics really well, just as a testament to his booking. I also think that Dan, as a person, yes, he's a massive pain in the arse. Yes, yes, he can be very blunt and he can be very brutal. But although he wants the best for Eve, he also wants the best for individuals as well. And he does give up a lot of his time to help people and to help put people over and help people hone their craft and actually like give girls a chance not to just go out there and have matches, but to do promos and to have storylines and, you know, do matches that they probably wouldn't get the opportunity to do in other places. And to be honest, if you look at a lot of the UK scene now and you look at a lot of the companies that are now putting a lot more into their women's divisions, a lot of them are doing it because they've seen the success that Dan has had.
Yeah.
A lot of them ask Dan for advice. Dan would never say it. But yeah, he does a lot behind the scenes for a lot of people. And I think, yeah, if you're a female wrestler, you should want to wrestle for Eve, because you're going to wrestle, like, you're going to get the opportunity to wrestle people that you won't get the opportunity to wrestle anywhere else. And yeah, like, you look at, you know, the venues and the shows that he's ran, you know, some of those shows do better than, you know, for what is, and again, I don't know if I'm just being a bit old fashioned, but, you know, before, when Eve started, it was a gimmick, you know, it was an all female show and it won't work. But actually now it's just viewed as a promotion. It's just one of the UK's biggest promotions, which again, just shows you the hard work that he's put in over the years. So yeah, I mean, Eve is my home. I love Eve. I love that it's serious. I love that it's wacky. And I love that you can kind of go out there and you can sort of like do things a bit silly and have a bit of fun. And it's great. I love it.
Absolutely. I'm hooked. I'm 100% hooked. Let's end on some listener fan questions then. Where should we start? So, Ethan Andrews, watching via YouTube. He's been dying to get this question in. He's been training now for a bit, and he's got his debut match, and it's coming up very soon. Any advice for somebody about to make their debut?
Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate things. It's easier said than done, but try and do things that you've practiced in training and that you know that you can do really, really well. So it's something that you don't have to worry about. Hopefully you're wrestling somebody that you've trained with or that you know decently well, and make sure that you don't do anything that you're not comfortable, but most importantly, enjoy yourself. It's not going to be perfect. You're probably going to watch it back and cringe, but everybody has to start somewhere.
Good advice. Really good advice. And friend of the show, good friend of mine, Matt Bayliss, has been in touch. What are your goals for 2023? Places to wrestle, people to face?
I think for 2023, just continue to have fun. Wrestle for a lot of the places that I wrestled for last year. Obviously, to continue to wrestle in Eve, retain my Wrestle Carnival Championship, of course.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to wrestling Lana. Like I say, I've never wrestled her one-on-one. There's a lot of people I'd like to wrestle again. Sky Smithson's a perfect person that I'll name drop here, because I'd wrestle her every day of the week. I think she's phenomenal. Nightshade, I think, doesn't get enough praise for how good she is. I'd love to wrestle her again. Continue to tag with Charlie, hopefully win some tag gold at some point with Charlie during the year. And I've never wrestled Rio either. Never wrestled Rio before, so it'd be nice to wrestle her at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's have a look. And Millie C has been in touch again. She says 31.7 seconds, which turned into her favorite insult you've ever made. What's the context behind that? I'm guessing it's to do with the whole limit thing.
Someone said that I only lasted 31 seconds, and I said it was longer than they'd ever lasted. I think it's probably what I said.
Brilliant. And Millie does ask another question. Who would you like to see get a chance to wrestle for Eve? Great question. And you've got to say,
lots of top
names out there.
I'm trying to think of somebody who's not wrestled for Eve. I'd like to see Rain in Eve a bit more. She's blowing up on the scene at the moment, and rightfully so. She's got a great look and a great character, and she adds something different. So actually, that's another person I'd like to wrestle. I'd like to see her back at some point.
Have you wrestled LA Taylor in a one-on-one match?
Not in a one-on-one match, no. Just
she's doing some good things at the moment.
And yeah, she's another person that would be cool to have in Eve, because again, she offers something different. We've got a different look, and again, she's someone who's definitely really coming into her own. So I would say maybe bring her, like, what would be great to bring her in as a tag team with Lana, but then I'd have to wrestle Lana again. So maybe avoid that question. But yeah, I don't know who else. Like, there's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got like Harley Hudson doing some great things in the Northwest.
Yeah, it'd be great to see her back. She, I think she wrestled on one of the shows. She was in a tag match, wasn't she? So yeah, it'd be good to see her back.
Like I say, so many, I mean, like I say, the UK women's roster, as I said at the beginning, and we've spoken about it throughout the course of this interview, the UK women's division is completely stacked, and it really is the place to be now. Before it was, right, I need to go to Japan or I need to go to the States. Now it's people are coming here to the UK to make a name for themselves in places like Eve, of course. Another question that came through before we went live from Russell, RussellMania00 via Twitter. Can you ask, who does she want to face this year? I think we've already spoken a little bit about that. Dawn, who I think is Russell's better half, has asked if she wasn't a wrestler, what would you be doing? So did you have any other kind of sporting aspirations or any other major hobbies that could turn into a profession?
No, everyone always says that I'd be a good stand-up comedian, but I'd be absolutely terrible. Wrestling is completely different, and I don't know why. When I wrestle, I'm quite good and I'll come up with quick one-liners. That's completely different to comedy. As anybody who watched that XWA show when we did Who's Line Anyway would attest to, I was absolutely terrible. Sporting wise, no. Like, I mean, I liked football when I was younger, but that was like, I wasn't very good at it. I like going to the gym and I like working out, but again, would I ever want to like diet for a competition? Absolutely not. I'd be a spectator of sports. I like to watch UFC, but I would never do it. I don't think sports, other sports are for me. Bit of theatre mixed with sport, like wrestling wise, is as far as it will go. And my holiday was lovely, thank you.
Yes, I didn't mention that, but final question from me then, Jetta, is what are some, if you could pinpoint maybe your top two or three proudest moments. Like I say, you've been in the industry, give or take 20 years, or you started 20 years ago. You've been all over the UK, all over Europe, and across to the States, of course. But if you were to pinpoint some of your proudest moments, what do you think they might be?
I would say I did get to wrestle Manami Toyota when she was over here. So that was like...
No way. Wow.
Big achievement. And that was like a very like scary like moment, because it was me and Rio actually, which was really nice to do that with Rio. We tagged against Manami and Emmy, which was great, and we were like going through it before, and when we were like stood in the ring, Stevie Aaron, the ring announcer from up north, came down and did the ring announcement. He was big like spiel about how important Manami Toyota is to wrestling and women's wrestling. Oh, me and Rhea are just standing there and looking at each other like, fucking hell, this is not happening. That was amazing. And to be honest, just to be a bit of a mark really and just take all of her greatest hits, I was just loving it. So she was like, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't care, just do something, do the Manami roll on me, I don't care. So yeah, that was really cool. I don't really step back and look at, like, I guess a lot of the things that I've done. I suppose like going over to the States, the original first ever PWI, like I think I was one of two European females that was in that, and I was like the highest ranked. So I know that's all partly based on wins and losses as well, but that was obviously a big achievement because you know, I was kind of flying the flag for the UK, so that was really cool. Winning the Eve title, definitely, because I didn't think that was something that I would ever do. I was always just kind of like happy sort of being in the mid card and being a bit of a comedy wrestler. But yeah, being able to have that run, that like baby face run that I had with Eve, was really great. And probably Wrestle Queendom 1. Actually, I've got quite a lot. Wrestle Queendom 1, because again, I remember sort of standing backstage and looking at how big the crowd was. And me and Erin were just sort of standing there looking at it, because obviously we'd started so far back, and that was when, you know, women's wrestling shows had about 30 people in the crowd. We were both just looking out at the York Hall and we were just like, how the hell is this, like, how the hell are this many people here to see like a women's wrestling show? So I remember like thinking to myself, like, when you go out there, take this in. And I did, which, and that was a really special show. And then being the first ever tag team champions with Erin, again, was a really special moment. Just because of all the shit that we went through in the early 2000s when people didn't want us on the shows, they didn't want us backstage, like, we got treated like shit by a lot of the wrestlers because they didn't want us there. So to be able to do that with her, because we both stuck it out, was really special.
Brilliant. We're getting close to the end of this excellent interview with Jetta. But before we ask you for your socials, I do need to quickly run down, Jetta, the remainder of my guests for January 2023, this being the first of the new year. And the first person I've got coming on a week today, I've got the brilliant James Ellis, a fantastic standout wrestler. Been on the scene for a couple of years now, doing some great things in South Wales, really starting to branch out. But James Ellis, the brilliant James Ellis, will be joining me next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And if I can get my graphics organized here, the following Tuesday, I've got Truman Roswell coming onto the show, Tuesday the 17th of January. You've got to check that one out. That's going to be absolutely fantastic. I think he's a UBW Wrestler of the Year for 2022. Truman Roswell will be on the show in a couple of Tuesdays' time. And then we've got that damn dirty dog, G Money, coming onto the show Monday the 23rd of January. It'll be the day after the up and coming Progress show, so I'm sure he'll have plenty to talk about. But G Money's had a fantastic couple of years. It'd be great to talk to Gene about everything and what's to come. And then to end the month, as if this month hasn't started, absolutely fantastically with Jetta, it's going to end with Cara Noir. Tom Dawkins will be coming on the show, and Tom will be gracing us with his presence on Monday the 30th of January at 8 o'clock. So some fantastic interviews, and that's just month one of Wrestling with Jonas. I've already got guests booked in all the way through to April, February, March and April are looking to be just as stacked. But Jetta, so some pretty good names there. Probably a few that you've come across on the circuit.
Yeah, definitely. There's some good interview. A bit of diversity on there as well. So, yeah, some good interviews coming up.
100%. So, if any of my viewers or listeners want to reach out to you, say hi, get to know Jetta a bit better. Maybe see some of your matches, or maybe just to get to know you a bit better. What social media platforms can they reach out to you on? And if it's of any help, I do have them scrolling along the bottom of the screen there. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Instagram at @Jetta_Wrestle, and then Twitter at the same. Those are my two social media handles.
Absolutely. And any merch that we can plug for you, because I do have a certain picture of the Royal Aces t-shirt there. Where can we get that fine t-shirt from?
So that is available on my Big Cartel and Charlie Morgan's Big Cartel. Those are linked in our Instagram and Twitter bios. We also have signed 8x10s, badges, pin badges, and t-shirts that are just her and just me as well. So yeah, Big Cartel.
Fantastic. We'll try and get all of them links into the description of this show. But just to remind everybody, you can see Jetta at EVE 100, the Multiverse Rumble, this coming Saturday. And then, of course, the big match for Wrestle Carnival, defending a Queen of the Carnival Championship against superstar Lana Austin at the end of the month from her hometown, the HMV Empire in Coventry on the 29th. But Jetta, it's been awesome speaking to you for quite a while now, an hour and 22 minutes, but the time has absolutely flown. If you've got a final message to your fans, friends, followers out there, any parting words for people that have really enjoyed this interview with yourself?
No, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. And like you've just mentioned, the upcoming EVE and Wrestle Carnival shows. If you are interested in, if wherever you are in the world, if you're interested in catching up on some of the EVE back catalogue, that is available on their YouTube channel. You can subscribe. I'm sure Millie will tell us how much the subscription is per month, but there's years and years worth of footage on there with plenty of big names that you've heard of, and some new ones that will be big in the future for you to discover. So if you're a fan of women's wrestling, definitely check out EVE on demand on YouTube.
That's great. Well, Jetta, it's been an honour and a pleasure interviewing you and speaking to you for the last hour and 20 minutes. And I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.